one you shouldn't hurt at all.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, good evening. Again, this is the second hour of Advice Line. The number, if you have a problem you cannot solve, please, I beg of you, give me a call. Just to, I don't want to make you bear your dirty washing. Everybody's got it. You don't have to say all that. I just want to know, tell me where it hurts. And let me explain which hurt leads back to another one. And when that one, when you see that, let me show you where it leads back to another one. Until you see the first hurt is hate. Do you understand that? Oh, I don't hate anybody. And you know, you get upset, that's hate. Then you become emotional. Then people say, what do you mean? You have no emotions? Don't you understand that emotions as what control you? Other people can control you by upsetting you and causing you to have emotions like anger and guilt. And emotions like, oh, something's missing me. I want to love. I need love. Where's love gone? So you look for love in all the wrong places and you get screwed again. So you're looking for a feeling. So all of you who are looking for feelings of love, every time you're loved, the hypnotic state of need and going along to get along and making you a wimp and drying out your soul, sucking out your substance, is reinforced. And every time you get angry but don't feel guilty or feel the guilt but get angry and self-righteous and judge people and set people up to fail, so somebody is what you project your guilt onto them. So you set them up to fail by being cruel to them. As if you were a cruel father. Or if you were an impatient father and thinking impatience to be a sort of discipline for the children, correction. It is not so. So have you ever been angry and have you ever been impatient? May I say this to you? You've killed your kids if you've been impatient. If you get irritated with your kids, you will pass on to them the very good you are trying to establish. With no exception. Now, I'm going to take my first call. I do like calls. And because more comes out. It comes out not so much from me. It comes out from you. You start to see, oh, I see. I was blind, but now I see. See? All right, Ruth. I think there's something evil inside my husband. That's probably, you couldn't be far wrong. I've just been talking about it.
You know, before you came on, I thought to myself, I hope I thought to myself, I think what's in my husband is what used to reside in me.
Yes. So you've got to be careful he doesn't re-reside in you, you know.
Okay.
You've got to be calm. And what I mean by calm, it's not artificial. It's not in your genes. It's a meditative state that is separate. It's like crossing. How old are you?
I am going to be 60.
Okay, so you remember the First World War?
No.
The Second World War.
You know, I was really sheltered from all that.
I wasn't. But anyway, war creates fear and intimidation. That's the whole idea, to intimidate your enemy into submission, to frighten the enemy into submission. And so you've got to be careful with your husband who has that in him and barks at you occasionally and plays sometimes. There's two roles he can play, and both of them are wrong. One of them is to be angry with you, to make you worse than him so he can judge you and relieve the guilt because you're more sicker than him. See that? Mm-hmm. So what he's doing is projecting. He's breaking the mirror of goodness so he doesn't have to look at himself. Oh, don't go away. We can speak a little bit while after this, so don't go away. Okay.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Good evening again. And I have my first caller, and you may not have heard of what she said, but I made my usual opening, and the subject matter today, this evening, especially this evening, and maybe tomorrow, if David doesn't do the show, it's going to be the same thing, but more of it. And to give you more understanding, because this is very hard to take. It's very simple for me to say, if somebody tries to upset you, and you have in you the nature of your Creator, which is a tantamount to redemption, you do not know how to be angry and hateful. You don't know how. There's nothing to control. The person who tries to upset you gets upset by trying to upset you, and you haven't used any energy. And he tries again, and he ratchets it up. And he feels frustrated that you didn't get upset, because the only way he can get inside you and feed on you and pass on hell to the generations, and to you, beginning with, you know, you're just a pawn in the scheme of things, exponentially unfolding like America is, as a country much different from the one I came from. Anyway, I'm going to go back to my caller in just a second, and I want to fill in some of the details of what I just said, and we'll talk about this lady who has a husband who's like that, so she says. And so what I'm saying is, you win by not losing, you're cool. Let's put it in rough language. You win. You win by not losing. You're cool. But you cannot find the cool that I'm talking about. It's not in you, in your veins. It's not in your genes. Gentlemen, I just might remind you, it's not in your genes. I'm trying to make a point. And try to make lighten up just a little bit. It's not there. Sex is not love. Sex, it for you, is love. Lust. See? And lust is need for a sense of worth, which is worthless. It's a drunk. You've turned the natural thing of procreation into something ugly. And so you tend to become addicted to the service of the pleasure giver, and to the point where she is made to feel dirty. And you don't notice that, all you care is about your sex. And then she will give in and give in and give in and give in, and perhaps take it out on her kids, or try to give her kids too much love, hoping that the love they give the kids would do better than the love she gives the husband. And it doesn't work, the kids will become spoiled, or they'll feel you pulling on them, their life forces, wanting them to be loyal to you as if you were their God and you were the source of love. And they run away from you. I have people from calling me from all over saying, why does my daughter hate me? I said, I can hear it in your voice. You possess your daughter by loving her too. How do you know that? See. All right. And what I'm saying is happening to everybody. But everything I'm saying here is common knowledge to the socialists and the communists and the people on the left. They're intimidating. The whole thing is to intimidate you into being angry and to create riots and things like that, to create chaos. You'd be cool. You come to my house and try to set it on fire, I'll knock your head off. But I'll be cool. That's what a soldier is. I've been in the military. And I tell you this, I didn't see any action, so don't worry. But I could just eat a ham sandwich after I take care of one of those guys. Because we are dealing with good and evil. But in our own country, we can't let that develop where one becomes so evil and the others become so submissive. We don't know what to do. And the bad guys have the chief cook and bottle washer in charge of them. That's what's happening in America. Okay. Now, having said that, I ran away from Ruth. Ruth, are you still there? I had to start it off with something.
That's okay. I'm used to that.
Go ahead.
Because it's always enlightening and interesting.
Thank you.
But I do, I think I understand what you're saying. I also wanted to ask you, I believe, I've been telling my grandson lately that God won't give you more than you can handle.
That's right.
True. Is that
yes.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
Thank you. I've been getting a lot lately, and I just thought, well, I must be able to handle this. I'm working for my oldest son, who I destroyed the most, and my middle son is falling apart, and my husband adds his two cents.
The main thing is your relationship between your husband, which is precedes your children, and to see what kind of infection you've got from him. And how you've infected or affected him. And if you've affected him by being too nice and being too accommodating, or just the opposite, being angry at his lust and his rudeness,
I did both.
You see,
then you become
affected, and you try to be the best person you have, but their kids can see what you can't see about yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. And you wonder why they don't want to come, et cetera, et cetera. Because you want them too much. And if you're angry, you don't want to see them at all. And they don't want to see you. Anyhow, that is, you know.
Yeah, it's back and forth.
Yes. So if you can be different, if you could be a real, I don't mean to be rude when I say this because I think you are a lady, but I mean, a lady in the deepest sense, meaning like with a Jesus quality of no hostility, no need for love. The only thing you do by your very existence do you love, and your behavior, and you don't even know you're loving.
I'm searching for that. I want that.
You'll have that.
Meditation will bring that.
Meditation will bring you to that state. It will point out what's getting in the way. It's called resentment. And resentment is a little buzz that goes on somewhere in down below your solar plexus to the left-hand side under the heart. Have you ever smiled while you were getting irritated inside?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. You're not really angry. It's something going zzz, it's irritated. And that turns into anger. It turns into the other two. It's like a vortex. It opens the door to evil emotions. And all emotions are evil. Even love emotions are evil, because they enslave. They rise to the occasion to give you a feeling and to get a feeling back, a service.
The other day, I felt this warm, you know, a love for, I can't remember who it was, and I caught that.
Yes, that's very good. That is exactly so.
Yeah.
And people listening to us talking, will say that Roy Masters doesn't have any feeling, he's not a man.
Right.
I say a man who has a feeling for women is a pig. I don't have a feeling for my children. I don't have a feeling for my wife. But something radiates in out of me because I'm not looking for an uplift from feeling. And the uplift can come from anger. You can get high on anger.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get high on being loved and being loving and being loved. But loving is giving of yourself or stealing a sense of worth from somebody by putting them on a pedestal and servicing that weakness for you, for your approval. So they become a slave of your approval or vice versa. Depend on who's the smartest one.
Mm-hmm.
And so all you hear is emotions that make you human. And they dehumanize you. But I have emotions. But my emotions, the string of my emotions, if I could call it a string or connection, is to my Creator. So I can only be emoted. Is that such a word, to emote, to be motivated?
I believe there is.
Yes,
sure.
Yeah. Yes. But let me invent one just for a second. To emote means to move. I want to put a meaning to it. It means to be moved by not knowing how and why you've been moved, but only good, and only to realize, oh my God, where did that word come from? How did I go through that terrible experience? And everything's turned out better. If I'd been upset, everything would have gone the other way. What's happened to me? In other words, you're being programmed from within. It's a program of God's love for you. But you can't love. You can't love like God does. All you can do is bear witness to Him, so people can look at themselves and be ashamed of hating you for your goodness, and cannot overcome you to make you to put your light out, so they can feel better about themselves.
Oh,
and we need to learn, understand this. And there are a few people who just are like that. And Ronald Reagan had that quality.
Yeah, he
had that quality. And I've been blessed with it. I look at my own books, which I wrote when I was 30, when I began to understand hypnosis and everything. All my books are written in the early years, 1970, 1969, 1965. I didn't know I was religious. It's all there. I decided I wasn't going to put any religious words in it. And lo and behold, if I look at any one of my books, it's got all quotes and things in it. I didn't know I put it there. I'm so happy I did.
Me too.
but he wrote a book through me. He wrote a physics book through me. In
that
other words,
seems so odd, though. Do you feel totally separate from it when you do this? Or
I don't know. It's almost like somebody else did it. I can't take pride in it.
That seems very odd to me. I don't know. I mean, I want to be separate, and yet there's something telling me, it's like a feeling in the back of my mind that
what?
You won't have any feeling. But that doesn't matter.
Well, I'm not quite sure what you're saying. You're entangled with something here, and
yeah,
I want to make sure it's clear.
I don't know. Right now I'm in a lot of pain.
What kind? What kind of pain?
Because my children are so unhappy.
How old are they?
My oldest son is 44.
So,
my middle son is 27.
How long have you been unhappy about him?
Well, I just started working for my oldest son. So, I've always felt, you know, that I messed him up. And
how did you do that? By getting you were too good to too good or too bad? Which one is it?
I do both. You know, I'm nice one minute, I'm mean.
I know, you're confused. You've confused him.
I confused him, and now he's all screwed up.
That's what the enemy does. That's what the enemy does. It'd be nice to mean to you one minute, and when you give in, or don't give in. Either way, he pushes harder, and then when you give in, he rewards you with his grace, such as it is. Well, Ruth, I think we had a nice talk, but what was that?
Well, it just hurts and it's hard.
Yeah, but what you really need is to recognize the two mistakes you made with her. You were looking for love from him, and perhaps he pulled away when he was young. He feels the pull. Did you ever hear me tell the story of a little girl? I forget her name, Baggy. I just call her Baggy. No. Maggie is the real name. And she loves me. She's been calling me Grandpa. I'm not a grandpa. But this is something that many people have heard before, but a lot of people are listening for the first time. I'll make my point. So she calls me. She says, "Grandpa," on the radio. No, she didn't call on the radio. She called me on purpose, privately. She says, "Is it all right for my grandmother and for me to refuse my grandmother some gifts and toys? Her mother was raped by her stepfather when she was four, and mother looked on, didn't care, only cared about her security with this man, this ugly, horrible man. I know. Anyways, she's 40 years old now, mother, and has got this little child, beautiful child, and she always brings her to me with this simple question. And she says, the first question is, can you say no to a person that wants to give you a gift? I said, do you feel the pull? She says, yes, I feel the pull. I said, that's temptation. See, you don't. Can you say no without being angry? Yes, Grandpa. Okay, now let's do it again. Grandma comes along. That's even more powerful. Grandpa, can I say no to my grandma? I said, can you say no? You can say no. Do you feel the pull? If you don't feel the pull, accept the gift. If you do feel the pull, don't take it, because that's something going to go wrong with that. You sense it, don't you? She says, yes, Grandpa. I said, can you, if your mother screams and gets upset and throws the gifts into the garbage, can you stand there and not be angry with her? She says, yes, Grandpa. And guess what? She did it. And guess what? Her mother threw the toys and whatever it is, it's not worth anything, into the garbage and ran like hell. And she's as calm as a cucumber. She even a 9-year-old kid can do this. It's a tremendous power to say no and stand up, thank you, and not worry about somebody's feelings. Because some mothers would say, don't hurt your grandma's feeling. And then in that moment, the child is destroyed. That's how easy it is to destroy a kid. So you are guilty of that, of being too nice, and then when nice doesn't work, you get upset. And when you're too nice, they want to run away from the pull. And then they feel guilty, because they'd be running away and being angry, and so they try to make good with you, but they can't make good over the anger they feel towards you, because that's bad. So you have a sort of an awkward relationship with each other.
Yeah.
That's it. So what do you need to do is say, just pretend your son's name is John, okay? Mm-hmm. Say, John, can I sit down with you a minute, please? This has to come without planning. I'm giving you just an outline.
Okay.
But somehow, someday, it's a minute from now, or a year from now, If you progress in your meditations and you stay, you're learning to see your angers and your mistakes and your foibles and the things you did wrong in your light, and you're willing to see them, they start to melt, vaporize, like Dracula is now vaporizing and leaving you forever. And a new person is being formed within you, see. So now, as you become more pure and more honorable and different, your son will see a difference in you. He will see it without word being spoken. And in that moment, you could say something quite surprising. You could say, John, I have a confession to make to you. Would you like to hear it? I did something wrong. I need your help. And this is what I did. When you were young, blah, 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 blah. My mother did me, blah, 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 blah. I see how I became her or him, see, and try to be good and couldn't be because it was artificial. And you could feel it. You could feel the pull, blah, blah, blah. Whatever it comes, it will come out of you so sweet and perfect that your mouth will be moving and God will be telling you what to say. And your words will be music to your ears. You'll say things, as I'm saying things to you now, I've never said them before. Some of them I've never said before. See, as I speak to a person and help them, more and more comes to me about the same thing. So I'm getting better and better and better. Even I'm getting older and older and older. I'm becoming more survivable. But terrible things have happened to me. Terrible.
Yeah.
Near death twice. Almost dead twice. Because the last time was hospital trying to kill me. Literally trying to kill me. Anyway, that doesn't make any difference right now. And yeah, I was dying. And I was not afraid. If it wasn't for my son, I wouldn't be here. But magic happens, and it's too much to talk about. I'm saying, you said in the beginning of our discussion, you know, what did you say about suffering? What was the word you used about how you'll never give you more than you can bear? Is that what you said?
Yes.
That was the exact word. That's from the Bible, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So, all the things I've gone through, horrible, dangerous, mind-killing, soul-killing, I've endured it, never even noticed it. And it's just the way it is. And therefore, I became regenerated. I'm a regenerated man. Every part of me is basically regenerated. I had a heart operation that failed. But lo and behold, even though they cut a vein from my thigh down to my ankle and pulled that out, and cut a little piece, four little pieces, and put them in my heart when it shouldn't be there because they're veins and not arteries. See,
right.
They could have taken the artery from where my breast is. Like the women have an artery there, but men have an artery there too. But so it only lasted 3 years. But lo and behold, I had terrible things happen. Almost collapsed. The doctor didn't treat me right. I was blowing up like a balloon. My kidney was crushing. My bladder was crushing my kidney. I didn't know what it was. The doctor didn't know what he was doing. And he tried to kill me. When I went to see the sign at the hospital, he said, "Have you seen the photograph?" Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I didn't get lost the word. The doctor was incompetent. But guess what? I grew four new arteries, which is unusual. Unusual because it takes a person like myself to experience it. That's why it's unusual. It happens to other people, but only because we deal with trials and tribulations in a proper way. I'm just going to finish off with Ruth in just a minute. I just want to speak through her to you that trials and tribulations are good for you. And there is no salvation without temptation. Didn't the Bible say that? So you must not try to avoid stress. But if you can't avoid it, you absorb it. You begin to run. You get the energy from the stress. So that it's a different kind of energy. It's a dehumanizing enemy that serves the purposes that have upset you. And we're all subject to the stress of wickedness and cruelty and deceit and injustice. And what we have to learn is, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. So once you get the idea that the person that's doing it to you does not know, even if he's a Nazi, he's not aware that he's doing it to you. But your life, let me put it this way, there's no guarantee of what I said, but the chances are very, very high that if a Nazi was to speak to you and you were Jewish, and you had this quality that very few people have in the world, which is very necessary for many of us to have it, and very necessary for tyrants to make us not have it, so that you're all capable of having that, they will tend to back off. There's something about the energy of your field, that is something about the energy you're running on. So you're running on a different energy, and they're running on oil. You're running on high test, whatever it is. It's a different energy. And when they encounter this shield, this energy field around you, which cannot be intimidated, no matter how much they torture you or are mean to you or cruel to you or lie to you, the whole goal of irritation and meanness and cruelty is to separate you from God by getting you to hate that person. But Jesus did not hate the hurter. It was known that while he was having his feet hammered by nails into the wood and his hands and the torture, he never complained. All he said, to make the point, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Not even them that was doing it to them knew what they were doing. They're just slaves. Slaves of Caesar. See? Slaves of Obama. Slaves of Hitler. Slaves of your mother. Slave of your father. Slave of some stranger that loves you, recognizes your goodness when it isn't there at all. It's just weakness, and you've never been loved by that before, and you give yourself to that person, and then you find yourself in a deeper hell. When you look for love in all the wrong places, that's what happens. Now, please support my program. Please support my program. Not enough of you are sending support. What have I done wrong? I'm trying to help you to become a better person, that's all.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866 Yes. 8883.
Can't survive without your support. Not enough of you are supporting. Not a number. There are people. One man gives $4,000 every month for the last 20 years. And what he's saying, I forget what he looks like. All I do is thank him and make a heart shake and an arrow through it sometimes and appreciate it. He's saying, you've helped me. Now help somebody else with this. So he's invisible to you. You and I would know that what I'm saying to you is sponsored by somebody. You'll never know. So you need to do the same thing, don't you think? If I help you, if I don't, nothing's lost. Okay. The phone number to call, if you want to do that tonight, that would be nice. Could you do that tonight? 800-877-3227. Can you remember that, please? 800-877-3227. Now I'm going to go back to FAQ.com. You can also donate. And what's the name of that? Auto debit. I'm looking for a piece of paper because I keep forgetting the word auto debit. Another word that's difficult for me is plantation. And I have to find the word plant before I can say Asian. Because a plantation is a beautiful place, not a prison. See? You know, to me, I'm brought up as a plantation. It's beautiful. And then, of course, it is a prison to black Americans. But black Americans don't know they've transferred. So as the Democrats have become more left-wing communists and displaced by communists, displaced by them slowly but surely, you have gangs that they have corralled millions of black Americans into these terrible conditions. And the funny thing about that is, I don't think it's funny, maybe, but you owe your life to your corrupter. When you're intimidated by the schools, when you're intimidated by the inner city schools, and you're programmed, politically programmed, set up to hate America. So if you're living in an inner city, you've actually gravitated to that which has held you, your parents and great parents, slaves, until they came to this country. They have successfully acted on the fact that you were once slaves, and that you gave birth to children not too far away from slavery, which was in the South before Martin Luther King was here, or when he was here many years ago. You were still sort of slaves in the South. And the slavers were Ku Klux Klan types of people, but they're all Democrats. Now guess where they are now. In other words, there's a tendency to be drawn to please, because your identity has become from them, passed through the generations. In other words, every big city, every city has those kinds of Democrats, which are Democrats. And mingled with communism and Marxist-Leninist techniques of keeping them broken, see, and giving them a terrible education, and giving them bad teachers, and that slowly but surely turn them against their own country. And then you have those people who put fire in their bellies and burn down buildings. It's not their fault. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. If you're one of those people listening, listen carefully. Those Democratic people, those inner cities, you owe your life, your sense of worth to them. You cannot escape. The good ones have escaped. The good black Americans are multiple. There are many. But the young ones today, the ones that are the more recent ones, the power of the president being who he is giving more life to that kind of behavior. And they're all frustrated and giving them, and they're saying they're making up a story. They're creating a situation where they look at the people who work and wonder, why do they have more than I do? See, why are we slaves? Why are we have nothing? Why don't we have what they have? We don't have lights. We don't have happiness. See. They're going to turn that army against you. You watch for that. And a president is going to be the reason for it. All right. 800-866-8883. So now I'm talking about hypnosis. And just recently, something has come to light again. What I've been talking about many years ago, about 43 years ago, yes. The lawyer for a person called Sirhan Sirhan, who's been in jail that long for the killing of Robert F. Kennedy. The confessed assassin, that it's called, he's called a confessed assassin, plans to present a new evidence at a parole board hearing suggesting that he did not act alone. He was potentially brainwashed and cannot remember anything about the 40-year-old shooting. There is no question that he was hypno-programmed, the lawyer William F. Pepper told ABC News. He was set up, he was used and manipulated, but I want to say they still don't know how it works. Please, ABC, I don't like you too much, and you don't like me too much, but have compassion on this man. He did not kill. He was acted through, like Germans, German youth, acted through. They weren't born killers. They were made killers. If you have a suggestible person, one that is suggestible, you can make them do anything you want, anything, even murder. And it's been happening a lot. And I mentioned it on several times on my radio program as The Dark Knight Rising, that one, that was also a program killer. I keep saying it over and over again, but nobody listens to me. You can produce a somnambulistic means you in a state of mind where you are fully conscious or think you are of what you see and what you are, what you believe is what you must do. And it's a hypnotic state. And in the programming with a psychiatrist of some kind, in the programming, they will weave a story. The one that, I can't remember the name of the one that took a shot at President Reagan. And there wasn't a trial because there was too much that would come out of who programmed to do it on the left. And Reagan decided not to go, to find out who did that to him. Why did this young man want to kill me? See? And how did he know the location exactly where I'd be? The person who killed our President Kennedy was also programmed that way. See? And so on and so forth. It's use of hypnosis. But people are very suggestible. You are suggestible if you're born a cannibal. If you're born into Borneo, you would be okay with a cannibal. And any cannibal who had a little bit of light in them and objected to it and sees there's something wrong with it, even if he sees there's something wrong with it and doesn't say a word, it goes into the soup pot. So there's no recovery. There's no one nation under God there in many places of the world. I suggest that everybody listen to me. In a manner of speaking, there's good in... I know the most beautiful good there is in Judeo-Christianity. And that's my opinion, but it's also the truth. We will prevail. The trouble is, we have so many different versions of Jesus, and so many preachers, and so many rabbis that get in the way of God. There's nothing wrong with being a Christian and nothing wrong with a Jew. But Christianity, I'm Jewish, born Jewish, anyway. But really, Jesus was, he was Jewish, wasn't he? So I didn't have to change my rabbi. I don't have a rabbi. I don't believe in rabbis. I'm what you call self-taught, but I didn't realize when, you know, I need to rephrase that and give it a different name. It's because I didn't teach myself. I was intuitively taught. Everything I've learned in physics, in helping people to overcome post-traumatic stress disorder and a whole range of sicknesses and diseases, that's my gift. I was searching for answers. And one day I woke up, 35 years old. I see now where you've been following me, all these dangerous places I've been, and I'm surviving. I see that the Christian lady comes into the Institute of Hypnosis. That's where I've discovered all the things I've discovered about hypnosis, and knowing that what I need to do is wake you up from it, from a state you didn't know you were in. Because this hypnosis does not allow you to see that you're in living another person's life. Everybody's living, if you're living another person's life, of trying to not to live somebody's life, which is not a good one. You're trying to make good and live somebody else's life in a different way. You make up your mind you're going to be the best mother and the best father you ever be. A little voice says that in your head. And you've heard me say this before, but it's worth saying again. And what you're doing is to do opposite from your wicked mother or your wicked father. But the opposite is just as wicked, because you're too nice to your children. And you pull on their love, see, and they feel the pressure. You see what I said a few minutes ago? You feel the pull? The children feel the pull, and they yield to it, and it's codependency, very dangerous. And you lose your life to your mother. You rebel. You become a naughty boy and go to jail. More often than not, you get drunk because you feel guilty hating your mother. You hate your mother who loves you, but she's owning you with that love. She's enslaving you, making you feel guilty for not loving her. So you do understand what I'm saying, that you are if you have any kind of illness, 95%, there's about 200,000 different illnesses that human beings have. Chickens, under the worst conditions, have 6. When they're in a cage, or have a little free range. They don't have any much diseases at all in the wild. Animals don't get sick very often, do they? They don't need any, probiotics and antibiotics and God knows what. They don't need all that. They have wonderful immune diseases, like a crocodile. They have a tremendous immune system, living in that garbage. See? Amazing. So would you have a better immune system? You have the power of regeneration. I mean that new heart, especially new heart, grows by itself. If you could just find what I'm alluding to, is that you need to find a way of transferring your loyalty to the intimidator. You see? And now you can't forgive them because you don't know how. But you only must see what I'm saying. If you can just see, perceive, because you have a perception, and if you have a good heart, you can hear me saying, "See, you can see your anger is where the evil, the behavior you have, the suffering you've got, the illness you've got entered." And it keeps on entering it. It keeps on entering it the more you struggle to save yourself, because you cannot save yourself, but something is coming, mysterious, is taking shape in you. And you're looking for answers from everybody out there, and nobody has it to give you. Yes, you're living longer. That's a good thing. But the only good thing about it is not this living longer, is that you find meaning because you are living longer. So let your medicine, if it makes you live longer, not make you allowed, gives you license to be wronger. But wake up now. It's time to be free. As old as you are, as young as you are, it's all possible now, quickly. Go to my website, fhu.com, and take my challenge up.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Now remember, I'm going to give a lecture, a seminar, not a lecture. You're going to be involved with this when you come. 650 seats in the Concourse Hotel in Los Angeles, right next to the airport. Walk there from there. It's a one-day Los Angeles seminar, and let's how to make stress cure you, not kill you. Stress is good. There's no virtue without temptation, right? You have to have temptation. Temptation brings out weakness. It establishes weakness. It gives you false strength. See, it makes you a go-getter. It makes you try harder to be better, only to make you worse, because you don't know what better is. You don't know what the purpose of creation, of your purpose on earth is. You've got so much guilt. You've got enough money to sozzle yourself silly with drugs and alcohol and pleasures. See? And that's why it's so difficult to talk to you. It's why you're so damn guilty you can't talk to me. See? So I was just talking to you about Sahan Sahan, who was hypnotized. He's hypnotized, to put it in shorter terms than what I'm reading, so that he was given the idea when a certain woman with a polka dot dress passed, that he was shooting in a shooting range. What he was aiming at, though, was Kennedy, see. But he really didn't shoot. He may or may not have shot, because I haven't got all of the information. But if he shot, he believed the truth that he was aiming at a target in a gun store. And that's what the trigger. The trigger could be a girl in a polka dot dress, and that could be the trigger, hypnotic post-traumatic stress. There's the disorder of that. So that in the military, the signal would be a backfiring of a bus, causing him to jump behind the sofa and point his gun at his own children, seeing them as the enemy. See that? Actually seeing them as the enemy. And my God, he recognizes the familiar screech of his wife or something. And it terrifies, so that he brings home something terrible. But what is terrible, worse, is the parent, the children and the wife are broken too. And this, the 22 die every day. And I have the means to help them. I have the means to, they can cure themselves. I have the means to, sort of literally speaking, because it really isn't curing themselves. It is curing from within. In other words, they wake up from the trance of shock, from the war front. See, The shock creates the horror, the cruelty, the injustice. These are civilized people. The people that do it to it are animals. See, the ISIS are animals. Their power is to be as cruel as possible, to immediately upset you and give in to them, to submit. And the word of it spreads and people begin to react in fear. And so that the fear is already, they've won the war. See, they can't fight. There's a sense of loyalty. There's a sense of having to give in. And you can try, you can suppress it if you want to. A lot of brave men do suppress it. And they kill the enemy and do all the things, but then they feel tremendously guilty. They see the blood coming out of a woman's belly as she's being, you know, bayoneted and cut up in little pieces. You can imagine little children being blown apart. You can see the pleasure of the enemy. And the enemy does not get post-traumatic stress disorder, the kind of enemies we're talking about. ISIS is not redeemable. Not redeemable. They live off your dying. You live on the fear and servitude to them. You have to yield yourself to them. They live off your dying. And the Germans and the Nazis did the same thing. He created a whole nation that did that. And there were people who, the population was sufficient, was large enough, but they couldn't do anything because their taxes armed all those robots from children. See, they grew up to be killers and lovers of the Führer. And even though the German people did not agree, they lived in fear, and that fear supported it and gave their children to the schools to become converts to Hitler, to die for him. It's all upside down. But big enough to spread. One country almost took over the world while we're sleeping. And you see, how many of you give in to go along? You can be, listen, if you can give in, if you can appease your wife or your husband, what kind of American are you? What kind of man are you? Why don't you, you see, and then, and you're angry, you become a bully and get other people, your wife or your children to go along with you. You're doing the same thing on a different level. And the politicians are playing with your head too. See? How about 800-877-3227, 800-877-3227, and FHU.com. Go to the website.
Roy Masters and the Foundation of Human Understanding depend upon your donations to keep this program on the air. What is a donation? Well, to you, it could be a tank full of gas. To a person in need, it could be a cure stress device and how your mind can keep you well book. What is a donation? To you, it could be a meal out. To someone in need, it could be Roy Masters' insight about an incurable condition that doctors don't understand. What's a donation? To you, it could be a bottle of wine or a bag of chips every week. But Roy Masters would use that money to help someone in prison and change their life for good. So when you think my donations don't count, you're wrong. Your donations do count. And without you, this program cannot continue to be heard on the air. So please, make a tax-deductible donation. Call 1-800-877-3227 or write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Or go to FHU.com right now and make your tax-deductible.